I can only recall two books really, really well from the bedroom of my childhood. Both were beautifully illustrated, which probably explains why I remember them at all. One was Aesop's Fables, and the other was simply called The Children's Bible. Aesop I loved, the Bible not so much. It wasn't just that Aesop's Fables were great little stories with talking ants and fiddle-playing grasshoppers. It was because the morals at the end of them made perfect sense to me, and many of them I still repeat to this day. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. You're judged by the company you keep. Some of the Bible stories, however, just confused me and even made me angry at times. The first shall be last and the last first? What kind of moral is that, I thought, way back in childhood days as I grew up in Toronto's East End, not too far from here. In the 1960s and 1970s, I knew exactly what happened to anyone who tried to cut in line while waiting for the streetcar, and it wasn't pretty. The last shall be first? I don't think so. And then there's today's gospel, the finding of the boy Jesus in the temple. I don't know how old I was when it happened, but at some point in my young life, I remember thinking to myself, if this Jesus is really as good as they say he is, how could he do that? How could he run away from his mom and dad and think there wouldn't be any consequences at all? His answer to his mother when she asked why he had caused so much worry for her and Joseph, it just seemed smart-alecky to me, not profound. And in my judgment, he deserved to be grounded at the very least. Mary's reaction, however, that she treasured all of these things and pondered them in her heart, that just made no sense to me at the time. I was quite certain, I was absolutely certain, that if I had done what he had done and had spoken to my mother the way that he had spoken to his, my mom would not have been treasuring the experience in her heart, but probably on my backside. Aesop, he wouldn't have written it that way. So if that wasn't the lesson of today's story from St. Luke, then what is it? Well, I discovered, happily, as I got older, that St. Luke is actually far more nuanced in his writing than my old friend Aesop ever was. And the first thing that the evangelist is confirming for us this morning is that the young Jesus, whose birth we just celebrated on Tuesday, was both like and unlike other children. He was 12, we are told, and like every 12-year-old, he was starting to become aware of himself, and he was testing his limits. In the Jewish tradition, of course, he was on the cusp of adulthood, preparing to celebrate his bar mitzvah the very next year. From that point on, he would have all of the rights and the responsibilities of the other men in his community. Not surprisingly, therefore, he was starting to act with some independence, which he so dramatically showed this morning by avoiding his parents for 3 whole days before he was found in the temple. Now, as Christians, we sometimes think of Jesus as fully formed when he first lay there in the manger, that somehow, even as an infant, he just knew that he was God's son, that he understood that he was divine, even as he nursed at Mary's breast. But that just wasn't the case. Some of our ancestors in faith, they were puzzled by this, and in the early church, they came up with all sorts of fantastic stories that Aesop would have been proud to have written in order to supplement the legitimate ones that made their way into the four Gospels. Stories that played up how very different Jesus was from other children, like the time that he supposedly made some toy birds out of clay and liked them so much, he decided to breathe life into them and let them fly away. Well, wisely, the people who did finally form the New Testament, they left those stories out, realizing that they were mere fables, because the fact was that Jesus, like every young person, slowly became aware of his identity and finally asserted it, to the astonishment of Mary and Joseph, in that first act of independence that we just heard about in the Temple of Jerusalem. But in other ways, ways that are very important to us as believers, Jesus was different from the other children he would have played with, as today's story also reveals. He had matured, and spiritually he was coming to realize that his relationship with God was different from everyone else's. By the age of 12, he was starting to understand that God was his father in a way unlike anyone before or after him. His reply to Mary, when she asked why he had worried her and Joseph so much, is a telling one. The translation that we just heard reads, "Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" As though Mary's concern was where to find her missing boy. But the original Greek text doesn't actually say that. It really says this: "Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" There is an urgent sense that by the age of 12, Jesus had become aware of the fact that he did have a special mission to fulfill that was part, the central part, of his father's plan of salvation for the whole world. His interaction with the rabbis in the temple that day must have confirmed both for him and for them that this was no ordinary child. But this understanding of himself only occurred with the passage of time. And that's why today's gospel explicitly and clearly states that he increased in wisdom and in years, in divine and human favor. He increased. So how did that happen? Well, I would suggest that part of the answer lies in a section of today's gospel that we can very, very easily overlook because it seems like such a small detail, but I think it communicates so much more. If you noticed, Mary and Joseph weren't initially concerned when their son went missing. In fact, we are told that a whole day actually passed before they even began to start looking for him among their friends and relations, something that would be unthinkable to us today. That caravan of friends and relatives from Nazareth that had descended on Jerusalem for the Passover was now returning home, and it was only logical to Mary and Joseph that if Jesus were not with them, then he would certainly be in the safety of some of the others. Theirs was a culture that believed, as the old African saying goes, that one knee alone does not bring up a child. That extended community of family and friends was absolutely critical in helping Jesus come to know who he was and what his role in this world would be. From Mary and Joseph and that supportive community, he would have first learned to read the scriptures and how to pray, just like any child. From his parents, he would have learned about the wondrous circumstances surrounding his birth and their years as refugees in Egypt. In those so-called hidden years, he would have observed their love and their dedication to each other. From them, he would have learned how to forgive and how to bless, how to honor God, not just with words, but also with actions. Beyond Mary and Joseph, few of the names are actually recorded, but their names don't really matter. What does matter is the fact that it was the people of that little Jewish village who were in that caravan who had helped Jesus become the person who would eventually teach us all to do unto others as you would have done unto you. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Love your neighbor as yourself. It was among these ordinary townsfolk that he learned these things, as well as what sacrificial love was all about and what a difference that ultimately made to this world. In the church, this Sunday after Christmas is traditionally the day when we reflect on families, the Holy Family, and all families. Whether ours is a traditional nuclear family of father, mother, and kids, or two mums and a son, or two dads and a daughter, or a blended family, whether the family we have created is made up of friends of our own choosing, from right here in this parish or from elsewhere, today is a time to reflect on how we can make the communities of which we are a part more like that one in Nazareth. How can we bring more love and support to strengthen them, the same love that one community so very long ago showered upon a very special child as together they helped to raise the Son of God? The fact is that we are now that group of fellow travelers to whom Mary and Joseph entrust their remarkable son and his teachings today. It's right here, in this cathedral community, that the seeds of faith are being planted in the next generation, our younger sisters and brothers, whom we trust will mature in wisdom and strength just like Jesus did, but now with our help and by God's grace. And we don't just limit our support to the little ones among us. Through the Tuesday drop-in, our various educational initiatives, the work of our clinical staff, the young adults group, our magnificent music program, and so many other activities, even something as simple as chatting at coffee hour after worship, through all of these seemingly ordinary activities, we become an extraordinary community of loving concern, helping each other to see God and to grow in wisdom and maturity of faith, just as the young Jesus did among his people. So without putting too fine a point on it, perhaps St. Luke really did have a moral for us this morning, and I think it might be this: it takes a village. While it may be true that Mary and Joseph were personally responsible for the awesome responsibility of raising the Son of God, they didn't do it all by themselves. They understood the value of their community, in which each person had a role to play, just as we do now. And so, like that little community in Nazareth, we may come here as individuals, but we work together to have one mind and one heart, the mind and heart that is Jesus Christ, still living here among us. Amen.